Coming up, a gothic mystery set in a moody manor house.
A book about why you love the music you do.
Plus, our distraction of the week. I'm Mel.
I'm Dave. This is the Library of Lost Time.
In honor of spooky season,
yeah.
I'm recommending a backlist book today instead of a new release.
Okay.
It's a trick and a treat.
Yeah?
It's Wakenhurst by Michelle Paver. This is a gothic novel, and it's inspired by real villages that sit on the edge of the fens in eastern England.
What's a fen?
Fens are marshy areas that are very wild and mysterious. They're where you'd expect witches and ghosts to lurk about if you lean that way.
Okay.
Many folktales are set in the fens,
yep.
including the story of a ghostly light that lures victims to their death in a bed of reeds.
The Will-o'-the-Wisp.
Exactly. In this book, it's 1906, and our heroine Maud lives in a manor house. And that house is perched on the edge of the fens, and it's called Wake's End. Maud is about 10 at the time the story begins.
Okay.
And she is just the kind of heroine I love. She's feisty and put upon, and she's about 7 shades too curious for her own good.
Mm.
Sadly, her mother is dead, and her father sees demons everywhere he looks.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, man, her father. Outside of their house, he's a well-respected historian.
Yeah.
But at home, he's a tyrant.
Oh.
At one point, Maud says that part of making her father proud was obeying his every word.
Mm.
And his rules include never running in the garden, always being silent downstairs, and no animals in the house. In fact, the servants are instructed to drown any cats they find on the property.
Oh, geez.
He's a bad guy with a capital B, capital G.
Yeah.
One day, while she's poking around her father's study, she discovers his diaries. And she does the only reasonable thing.
Reads them?
Yes.
Yeah.
She reads them. And just like that, Maud is caught up in the secrets of a gruesome murder. The mystery unfolds through 2 narratives. Maud's unusual coming-of-age story and the increasingly unhinged entries from her father's journals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I devoured this novel. And then I read another one by Michelle Paver. Remember her ghost story, Dark Matter?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah, I recommended that one on our podcast episode about the Arctic. Very spooky and awesome. She's really good at creating atmosphere that becomes another character in the story. Very grounded in their sense of place and time. While you read this book, you might hear unnatural scratching in the walls and smell the damp decay wafting up your nose from the fens. And you will love, love, love The Too Curious Maud. That's Wakenhurst by Michelle Paver.
My book is This Is What It Sounds Like, What the Music You Love Says About You by Susan Rogers. Susan Rogers has led a fascinating life. She started as an LA audio tech in the 70s and then eventually became Prince's chief engineer for Purple Rain.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then she worked with David Byrne and Michael Penn. She was the producer for the Bare Naked Ladies when they recorded 1 Week.
That's really fun.
Yeah. She became one of the most successful female record producers of all time. In 2000, she went deeper. She earned a doctorate in music cognition and psychoacoustics.
Psychoacoustics?
Yeah. And she started teaching. She is currently an associate professor at the Berklee College of Music. This book is about our relationship with music. The idea here is that we all have a listener profile, and that profile is based on our brain's response to 7 different dimensions of a song. 4 of those are musical, melody, lyrics, rhythm, and timbre, and 3 of them are aesthetic, authenticity, realism, and novelty. While she's introducing these ideas, she walks through her own career. She uses her background to help illuminate the music of Prince and Frank Sinatra and Kanye West, among others. She writes about records that changed her life, and she encourages us to think about the tunes that define our identities. The book is This Is What It Sounds Like, What the Music You Love Says About You by Susan Rogers. And now, our distraction of the week. So our episode on Italy just came out last week. And while we were doing that, I came across some things about a place called San Marino that I wanted to share. We mentioned it briefly.
We did. It's a tiny country.
San Marino is a little microstate nestled into a mountain by the coast of the Adriatic. So if you were in Florence and you started heading west, you'd get to San Marino just before you hit the sea. San Marino is its own nation, but it is entirely surrounded by Italy. It is the hole in the donut of the Italian peninsula. There's no border control there, so you just walk in. But you can also get your passport stamped if you'd like.
I was going to ask if you get a stamp when you go there. That's always so much fun.
You can, yeah. San Marino is lovely. There's a mountain there, Mount Titano. There are three ancient towers on Mount Titano. On a clear day, you can see the Adriatic from there. People routinely describe it as fairy tale-like. You can visit our site. We'll show you some pictures. San Marino is also tiny. It's the world's fifth smallest country. It has about 34,000 residents. This nation is smaller than, say, Des Moines, Iowa, or Oslo, Norway. There are amusement parks in the world that have a larger maximum capacity. Everyone from San Marino could go to Disney World, and the line to get into Space Mountain would still move pretty well. It's an old city-state that has somehow avoided assimilating into Italy since its founding in 301. And I want to tell you three things that I found interesting about San Marino. First, it may be the world's only diarchy.
Diarchy.
Yeah. San Marino has two heads of state. Twice a year, the parliament elects two individuals to be what they call the captain's regent.
Cool.
Yeah. That's the highest elected official. Those people serve for 6 months. And then those individuals can't be captains again for 3 years after that. As a happy byproduct, San Marino has had the most female heads of state in the world.
Well done, San Marino.
Yeah. Second, San Marino has no debt. They have a budget surplus. Part of that is because of the tourism. San Marino has over 3 million tourists a year.
Wow.
That's 100 times the population.
Yeah.
All of that cash makes their GDP per capita one of the highest in the world. And it might explain why San Marino is one of the only nations in the world with more cars than people.
I'm not so fond of that statistic.
Me either, but I thought it was interesting. Finally, as you mentioned, it's spooky season. You should know that San Marino is home of the Museum of Vampires and Lycanthropes.
How did I not know this before right this minute?
I don't know. They, of course, say it in the much sexier Italian. Museo dei Vampiri e Licantropi, which is probably a bad pronunciation, but you get the idea. If you're unaware, lycanthrope is a fancy word for werewolf. From the outside, the museum appears to be primarily a kitsch tourist trap.
Mm-hmm.
But from the inside, it is still just a kitsch tourist trap.
No.
Yeah. TripAdvisor has it at 3 stars after 300 reviews. They also have about 200 photos, so you can get a sense of what you're getting into there. I would like to mention that San Marino has no official policy on the existence of vampires.
Although, I feel like something is implied by having the museum.
And also, they maintain a group of 70 soldiers who are experts in crossbow. Or as vampire experts call them, the flying stake.
Or as I'm going to call them, vampire and werewolf hunters.
Wikipedia is very adamant that this unit is ceremonial in nature.
I'm seeing a lot of air quotes in these statements.
I mean, what else are they going to say, right? All those tourists?
Exactly.
You got to keep that undead population down somehow.
Visit strongsenseofplace.com/library for more details about the books we discussed and the tiny country of San Marino and possibly its intense undead problem.
Thanks for joining us in the Library of Lost Time. Remember to visit your local library and your independent bookstore to lose some time yourself.
Stay curious. We'll talk to you soon.